You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm talking green, this pack of pride, we in the fray, yeah. Gonna light it up tonight, baby. It's Packernet after dark, baby. I'm shouting out to those Pack fans that be up all through the night, baby. I'm shouting out, it's all love here. We one family, that's right, baby.
We just gotta rise above, cause the Pack ain't never tame. We in it to claim the games like champions, we here to play.
Packernet, we blaze the trail. Hearts never frail, we on the march, yeah. Every game's a tale, victories in our sail. It's a green and gold spark, yeah.
To the cheesehead crowd, in the stands or at your homes, baby. Staying loud in those Lambo lights, we thrive, we own, baby.
Yeah, yeah. We're the legacy, we hold so dear. No fear when we take the field. Oh. Rings and dreams, that's a goal we steer. Oh. Like, let us let the saga build.
Watch us.
All right, now be honest with me.
Is that not the coolest freaking thing you've ever heard in your life? Oh, man, I'm telling you. First of all, shout out to Jacob. But I told you, AI just keeps getting better. You don't want to listen. That was entirely AI generated. And I've got 40 of those. I got a Trucker Bob song. I got a Joe the Janitor song. I got a Packernet song, Packernet After Night, After Dark song. I made songs for my kids. Bro, I'm going to put out an album. It's going to take me 15 minutes. I'm going to start my own record label, and I'm going to be all the artists on my own record label. All right? Empire. I thought that was awesome. And it's funny because I put in Lil Wayne. And it's like, no. We're not putting Lil Wayne in there. So we're just going to put like Southern rap, gangster rap, male vocals, like went through like 5-6 different things. I'm like, all right, cool, I guess. And then they played it. And I'm like, that kind of sounds like Lil Wayne to me, dude. It's like there's a filter. And then it went through the filter and got to the robot. And the robot's like, oh, I know what you're trying to do. You want Lil Wayne? Oh, okay, that's fine. I got you. We can do Lil Wayne and throw in a little Rick Ross at the end or whoever that was. I know you want to listen to that Joe the Janitor song, don't you? It is. I love that song. Not even just like because, like, I just like the song. It's very, so I like some of the, like, folksy music or whatever. There's some good songs. Bro, the Trucker Bob one, it's like old school country folksy kind of deal. having fun today. Anyways, if you didn't like that, I apologize because that's not going away. I mean, that the intro will probably go. I'll bring back the old school intro once in a while. But I'm just saying, like, having new intros, outros, having fun with this, that, or the other, that's going to be a thing moving forward here. Anyways, why don't we get started with the show here? This is Packernet After Dark. Call-in number 608-501-0718. New callers go to the front of the line. We don't have any new today, so let's get started with Garrett in Southern Illinois.
Hey, Ryan. It's Garrett from Southern Illinois.
What's up?
I just want to put the conspiracy theorist to rest. The 40-day absence isn't a result of me rapturing before the eclipse.
That's good to know.
It's not a result of me going postal.
Oh, that's good.
At my office. It's a result of me just taking a break from the things that I really, really love doing and just gaining some perspective and giving myself a rest from things and just doing the good old fasting from the things that maybe consume your life too much and just giving yourself a break. So there it is. I can't explain what happened to the other callers, but it's nothing that you did or
somebody
anybody
got
else.
Raptured for sure.
It's good to be back. I will say that the draft coming up here really, really soon has hit its pinnacle as far as interest, and I can't wait to see what they do. I'm excited about the news of the new rule changes. I'm excited about Packers going to Brazil. I think you spoke that one into existence, Ryan, because yes. I think just common sense would say that they were the perfect fit. And there's a lot of fans down there, so I'm excited about that. Excited for all the fans down there in Brazil. So hopefully that'll bring you some more listeners. And to wrap it up, I'm really, really excited to see what happens with all these free agencies that are still left unsigned. So I'm kind of wondering if Green Bay doesn't have at least one more surprise in the old basket to pull out and see what happens. So I'm out.
Well, I agree with you about the draft kind of hitting its pinnacle here. It's kind of... I need to remember for next year to play this differently. I need to do a lot of this kind of work on the front end so that I can kind of enjoy this part of it. Because this is when it gets to be kind of fun and we can have conversations about this, that, or the other. And I'm kind of missing it. You know, the whole first round conversation, I don't know what anybody's talking about anymore. Maybe that's just flatlined. A lot of the other stuff, I'm so immersed in what I'm doing because it was too last minute. As far as, you know, actually watching the prospects and all that stuff, but I am excited to be able to just kick my feet up and, let Gutekunst do all the work while I just get to sit back and wait and enjoy the picks. Although I will say, one of the most difficult things to do, most enjoyable for sure. One of the most enjoyable, but one of the more difficult grinds is a 3-day NFL draft stream. It is just brutal, but day 3 in particular, obviously, but was it like 12 hours total or something? It's ridiculous, but I'm looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun, and hopefully you guys are there hanging out. As far as free agency, you know, I kind of would guess anyways that if anything was going to be done, it would be after the draft. I just feel like if there were any needs that needed to be filled pre-draft, they would probably have had that figured out by now and negotiated or whatever. We're kind of in the holding pattern until the draft is done, at least on that front, I would assume. Next up, why don't we get to Kyle in Madison.
What's up, Kyle from Madison? How are you, buddy?
What's up?
Okay, draft question for you.
All right.
I'm going to list a couple players.
Oh, boy.
They're all players I think have a pretty good chance, maybe... Like, all four could be there for us, or none of them. You'd have to think at least two or three of these four players, though, are going to be an option for the Packers, okay?
Okay.
So, Kool-Aid.
Yep.
Jurzon.
Yep.
Cooper DeJean. And Graham Barton.
Okay.
All right? Kool-Aid, Cooper DeJean, Graham Barton, and Jurzon. All right? Those four. Which of those guys do you think... has the highest upside.
Mm.
Because I think that's who we're going to draft. Whoever they think has the highest upside, it might be of those four players. Because, I mean, they did it last year. They did it with Jordan Love. They've done it. You know, it seems like every year we pretend like we don't know they're going to do it, and then they do the same thing each year. And I think there's a high probability it's going to be one of these four players. So which one has the biggest upside, and that's who they're going to take? I mean... I don't want to influence your decision. You can pause me if you want and give me your opinion before I say, but...
Go for it.
I think it's got to be Cooper DeJean if you're going just where's the ceiling.
Sure.
I think the highest floor of those players is probably the offensive lineman, but I don't know. It's just an interesting question. I wanted your opinion. Who has the high... And it's not those four. Like, who realistically in the draft do you think has the highest ceiling? Because that's probably, I mean, that's usually where Packers go. So, anyway, that's what I came up with. So I'm interested to hear what you have to say, bud. Take care.
Well, the guy that comes immediately to mind for the second part of your question, I kind of already talked about it, you know, yesterday, day before, whatever. Nate Wiggins is the one guy. Just you know, you want to talk about a guy that seems to be a Packer to me. I know he's a little bit on the lighter side, but I really don't think that'll be an issue. He just seems to really check those boxes and will, you know, potentially be there. I don't know if he will be. That's just where the consensus boards are at. Of the guys you mentioned, I think I'm going to remove Kool-Aid. I like Kool-Aid, but, you know, you look at his RAS and whatnot, it's like a 7.5, 7.55, I think it is what it is. Not that that's the be-all, end-all, but it just doesn't feel like, you know, Packers swinging for the fences kind of pick. You know, they want the 9.95 in the first round. I know Cooper's up there. I'm not even going to really look up the other two because let's just say for argument's sake that they are where they need to be. I think Jerzon just did his pro day today. I don't think he actually did anything, though. My initial thoughts on Jerzon, well, I guess I should say my initial thought was Jerzon Newton. As far as his upside as a, you know, potential premier pass rusher. Couple issues. Number one, I'm concerned about his run defense. I know Jake had briefly talked about that when we did the stream the other day and how he thinks he's could potentially get there, which of course is possible. But the other issue that I have is, I mean, best case scenario, it kind of feels like we're just, I shouldn't say best case scenario, but it kind of feels like we're just swinging at another Devontae Wyatt, like in the exact same spot, exact same player, you know, less freakishly athletic, but he's a pass rusher that isn't as good of a run defender. I mean, it's like the same thing again, and there's nothing wrong with drafting guys like that. If, you know, if that's, it's always going to be a thing of value, but I don't know. It just feels weird. Graham Barton, I love in theory Graham Barton, right? It checks all the boxes. Really talented guy that can play anywhere along the offensive line. Could come in and be a starting tackle. But, you know, he's Elgton Jenkins and Zach Tom. He'd be a Pro Bowl guard, a All-Pro, you know, or whatever, the tackle, All-Pro guard or a Hall of Fame center. He gets better the more you move him to the interior, but he can certainly play tackle. I mean, if that's what he actually is, and the Packers believe that, and all the athleticism and everything is there, that should probably be the pick. I will say Cooper DeJean certainly would be a good choice as well. I don't know why I have somewhat of a ceiling on him. In my mind, he's Micah Hyde. It's not just because of Iowa. I think Hyde went to Iowa. They just feel similar. Like I think Cooper can be really good, but I don't feel like Cooper's the kind of guy that's going to be like a top five corner. I don't know why. I don't think so. Maybe it's because he's white. I don't know. He's a white dude from Iowa. Maybe I don't know what kind of subconscious. It doesn't feel like it to me. I feel like he's a guy that does a lot of the secondary, tertiary stuff really well. But he's not like a lot of these other guys, like Wiggins, for example. You like him because he runs 4.28. And Cooper's fast, but it's like he can cover. Like, well, can he tackle? No, but I don't care. Right? Well, can he do that? No, but whatever. Who gives a crap? You know, can he shed blocks and make tackles? Like, no, but it doesn't matter. I want a guy that's a lockdown corner. And I feel like, and maybe I'm way off on this, like if you were to ask who is the best, like forget everything else, just a pure lockdown corner, I just can't imagine Cooper DeJean is the first guy that comes to your mind. Or DeJean, I guess is supposedly how you say the guy's name. I don't know. Maybe I'm just way off on that. I like Cooper DeJean a lot. I really do. Especially for like pick 25, if we were at pick 10, would I love him? Probably not. But I don't know. It doesn't feel like it. So I guess I'm going Graham Barton by default, even though I haven't gotten to interior offensive line yet and had a chance to really watch him and formulate my own opinion. I'll just say, assuming Graham Barton checks all the threshold boxes, it feels like a good pick. I have issues with pretty much all of them. Like, if Barton's a guard and Jerzon is Wyatt and Kool-Aid's a 7'5 RAS and Cooper is I hate to say Micah Hyde because obviously he's a talented player. It's just my answer is Nate Wiggins. That's my answer to your question. But yeah, Cooper makes sense. You can make a case for Jerzon, but again, it's just kind of weird for me. And then Graham makes sense. I think Kool-Aid's the only one that I have a hard time with, although I think he does check a lot of those boxes of just being a good corner across the board. You know, it's hard to imagine that you get all the boxes checked. You know, it's hard to be Sauce Gardner when you have some of the physical limitations that Kool-Aid may have. But why don't we take our first break? We'll come back and hear from Daniel from California. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built for us. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to Packernet Radio. You're live with Packernet.
I don't know. They do that on the radio. You know, they play the music. I'm just saying. I think they kind of leave this on low for a little bit while they talk. Second hour today, we're going to be talking about Tepede. We got Tepede on the show. Jim Femini is going to be here.
They always have long pauses, too. I think that's industry secret, just long pauses. It's how you get through 3-hour radio shows.
Anyways, Daniel from California, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan. I was just thinking, man, like, last year we had Valentine and Valentine step up when Rasul was traded and Jair wasn't there, and they played decent enough for us to win games, like, once we got past that Lions hurdle, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, like, what if, like, they're honing in on a different position, or they're just going to go best player available? I like Stokes, Valentine, as battling for number two. Like, that's actually, like, a decent three for that, like, a competition for that outside spot. Like, yeah, like, the high-end talent could be better, but that's a solid three that are, going for that second spot. If Jair goes down, you know, we still have three of those guys, right? So I know they're probably going to get a corner. I don't know if they're going to prioritize it. I know they always prioritize premium positions, but what if they just do what they always do? They just go get an edge rusher, or they go like get like a lineman. Well, they don't usually do that high, but maybe like the 41, they might try to get like a Haynes or something, right? Or a tackle. But that's all I got. Go Petco.
Yeah, and that's always one of those things too, where we don't actually know what the Packers think. We know what we think after a period of time. We all kind of, you know, we disagree to some degree, but we collectively have an idea of what we need, right? And even like the disagreements among fans vary somewhat less than what the team might actually think. Like, I always use this example, so you're going to roll your eyes, but I mean, how many years did we have to talk about how desperately the Packers needed wide receiver, and the Packers are like, I kind of like our wide receiver room, not going to lie. I mean, we got guys that are playing it, and they weren't lying. We just always thought they were lying. Like, that's just a GM thing to say. Like, well, you know, we got guys in the building as it is, you know. No, he just really liked them. He's like, no, we're fine. We got Devontae, okay? That's Devontae. Don't you shut up. You know how much money we're paying that guy? We have wide receivers. We're fine. So yeah, maybe they're looking at it like Jair's a stud. You know, we like Valentine. We brought back Keyshawn. Worst case scenario, that's our trio. We like that trio. But if Stokes steps up, we're in a really good situation. Valentine is developing. We got some other guys that maybe could come in and develop. You know, not to say we won't take a swing here and there for competition's sake, but we're certainly not desperate. So yeah, I mean, I think when you look at offensive line, you have to know at the very least for depth, they need something. Safety feels relatively desperate, but at the same time, they've got the vast majority of what they need in Xavier McKinney. It might be like a Devontae thing again, where it's like, I mean, we got Anthony Johnson, man. We drafted him. He's just showed us some stuff. We'll see how it goes. But, you know, aside from the competition that we're going to bring in for Anthony Johnson, that's kind of who it's going to be. So you never really know. And they don't know. I mean, they know how they feel about things, but they don't know how things are going to shake out. But yeah, it's entirely possible. They are much higher on the corner situation than we are. I mean, that would just be interesting to know in and of itself. Like, where do they stand compared to the fan base on pretty much all of this stuff? I would love, like, tackle. Tackle's one is, like, I have no idea what they think of our tackles. If it's true they really want Zach Tom inside, then it becomes a question of how much do they like Rashid. I mean, if they might love Tom and Rashid and say, aside from depth, we need nothing at tackle. They might say Rashid ain't it, and Zach Tom needs to be. The only reason Zach Tom isn't inside is because we don't have tackles that can actually play that position. So we're missing out, and I know that's a whole conversation in and of itself that I have not yet engaged in, but we're missing out on this elite interior guy because of whatever. And then in that case, we really need tackles, because not only can we upgrade left tackle, but then we can kick Zach Tom inside where he belongs, according to them, maybe.
Yo, Ryan!
Yo!
It's your uncle, Rico.
So am I.
Hey, I just heard that the Packers did get the Brazil game. I think that's cool. I think that's exciting. Anybody who doesn't think that's exciting is not an exciting person. But we know a lot of those people that are not exciting people. They're very boring people, and they're just stupid.
Hey, I'm a boring person.
Anyway, I see that there's some concern, I would say. They call it that the travels. The Pack has to travel to Milwaukee just to get on an airplane. Big freaking deal. So you got to ride a bus to the airport. Like, that is a monstrous effect on anything. Like, the Eagles practice at the airport or something, and they just got to go from their freaking locker room to the plane. Come on. Be serious. Find something else to do with your life other than be stupid. Go Pack, go. Rico out.
It does always surprise me sometimes when we pretend like we don't kind of understand, you know, like, oh, they can't possibly be asked to do anything 3 days after, 4 days after, a week after they travel, because these international games, they travel really early. And it's like, okay, dude, hear me out. And I understand, you know, maybe going to Disneyland isn't exactly the same thing as playing a football game, but I don't know if you ever spent freaking 10 hours in 102 degree heat with 3, 4, however many kids, it's a little bit of a grind. We've driven to Florida. Okay, that is much more grueling than being shuttled to the airport and then being shuttled on a plane to Brazil. We're talking days in a car, right? It's like drive the way we do it anyways with kids. Drive, unpack, hotel, luggage, all your crap upstairs, check in, all that. And then probably have to go to the swimming pool because you can't have kids and go to a hotel and not go to the swimming pool. So it's not like I'm just watching TV, although sometimes I let my wife just take them. And then it's pack all your crap, back in the car, drive again, long, long, long time, unpack your crap, check in, swimming pool, go to bed, wake up, back to the car, drive down, get to Florida. And it's freaking exhausting, right? But here's what I do, usually. Day one is dad's day. It's pool day. Okay? That's it. We're not going anywhere. We're not going to Disneyland. We're not checking out the shops. We're not going out to eat. Maybe we'll go out to eat. Probably just getting pizza delivered. If you want to do it, that's fine. I don't give a crap. Dude, you can go to the moon. I don't care. You do whatever you want. Don't ask dad to do stuff. All right? The most I'm willing to do maybe is a swimming pool. And I'm not talking crazy with like 500 people swimming pool and I got to shuttle people around and I'm going to chase you in the pool and all that stuff. I'm talking like late at night when it drops to 86 degrees and it's a cool breeze and I'm back floating and the kids are playing and screaming and hooping and hollering. And once in a while, I got to lift my head out of the water. You know, you get that sound in your ears. And you got to be like, hey, people are maybe sleeping. I don't know. Try to not scream quite as much. And then you go back to your back float and just drift away. And then the next day you go to Disneyland, dude. The next day. Okay? You wake up and you go do strenuous stuff the very next day. I don't want to hear, I sat on an airplane for like 7 hours, 10 hours. Bro, so what? Dude, sitting and watching TV for 10 hours? Whoop-de-doo. I do that anyways. That's called my Saturday. What are you talking about? You're sitting on a plane, watching movies, listening to music, listening to audiobooks, whatever you're doing. Then you get shuttled to your hotel and you relax. And then you go, I mean, you're, and this is, these are the same people that if you hadn't been on a plane, you would have been doing workouts like, you know, in the grueling heat, even in Green Bay, Wisconsin, early in the season. For hours a day, but I'm supposed to think that you can't handle the stress of sitting on a plane as opposed to doing workouts in Wisconsin? Like, what are we talking about? I don't understand what we're even talking about here. Don't, I mean, listen, you want to explain to me, like, sometimes things are hard and I don't feel like doing stuff? Like, bro, I get it. I get that. But you cannot tell me that it's like, well, these are just going to be too hard for these guys to play football. First of all, whatever difficulties there's going to be, it's difficult for both of them. So it's even, so I don't really care. And it's like, well, what about on the way back? It's going to be unfair because then they got to play a team that didn't have that. Like, whatever. Yeah, and sometimes you play on Thursday and then, you know, your opponent played that next Monday, so you get an unfair advantage. That's not fair. I mean, we go about this in the during the regular season all the time, this like scheduling advantages and disadvantages. And some teams get massive advantages based on when they play Thursday, Sunday, Monday, whatever, and whenever their opponents play. This is a minor disadvantage, maybe. Not to mention, again, one of our away games is not on our opponent's home turf, which is a advantage for us. Potentially a borderline home game with the crowd potentially being more Green Bay Packers fans, likely being more Packers fans. So whatever minor inconvenience there is, I just don't want. I mean, it's like the Peacock thing. Like, come on, man. I'm not saying you can't make a case. I'm not saying you can't sell me on it. But the proportionality between how big of a deal it is and how big of a deal people are making of it, way out of proportion.
Hey, Ryan. It's me, Biz, the head writer from Brazil, man. What's up?
What's up?
So I was just listening here to Packer After Dark, and you were talking about my call about the Packers coming to Brazil. Let's go. I still can't believe it. So, yeah. Answering your question, I live in the city of the game. I live in São Paulo, where the game is going to be. So, yeah, I'm pretty close to to the Packer game. So I'm definitely going. I don't know if I have to sell a kidney or something. I'm going to do it. I don't care. I'm going to the game. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. So yeah, that's about it. Talk to you soon. Bye bye.
Super random, by the way. Extremely happy for you. That's super awesome. Whenever I hear of Sao Paulo, I think of one thing and one thing only. And I don't know if you've never seen this, you have to watch it. It is a fantastic movie. It is called Nothing But Trouble. But there's a scene in there where these two people from Brazil are trying to escape captivity. Don't worry about the context. And they come to this moat and it just smells awful. It's like a sewage moat. And they say something to the effect of like, what is that smell? Smells like... And then they both look at each other and say, Sao Paulo. Oh, I didn't know what that... At the time, the first time I watched it, I'm like, what is Sao Paulo? I was like, is that Spanish for like dog crap or something? Like, what? I don't know what that is. No, it's a city. And it's not Spanish. But yeah, I'm all jazzed up, man. I'm excited. Can't wait to hear how it went for you. I really hope they win that game. I mean, either way, it's going to be a great experience, but it's going to be, you know... 10x'd if the Packers pull out a win there. Anyways, why don't we take our final break? We'll be right back and hear from, once again, Mr. Garrett in Southern Illinois.
Hey, Ryan, it's Garrett from Southern Illinois.
What's up?
So, second part of my thought on Green Bay going to Brazil. I'm not really sure how merchandising works and how much available things are in Brazil for Green Bay Packers. So I'm thinking Mark Murphy had dollar signs ringing when he thought, okay, here is a untapped potential of Green Bay earning a lot of merchandising online from the fans down there. Cause who doesn't want to wear something Green Bay Packer to a game that probably will never happen again in 30, 40 years, possibly.
Yeah.
So you have all these fans in Brazil who are going to buy Green Bay Packers merchandise to wear to the game, and untold amounts of people who are going to watch it somewhere from home that are going to also order something that they don't have just so they can have the most updated fan jersey or whatever. So I think there's a really big untapped potential there for Green Bay to make out on that. I know they share money with the NFL, but there's got to be a little bit there that trickles down to them. Part two, you've got to set up a GoFundMe for Pedro so this guy can go to the game and do a live, you know, segment for you where he calls in and gives you updates and pictures and all the updates that you can then upload to YouTube and all that, because I mean, there is some really cool things that he could probably do for you, and I just think it'd be awesome to see the guy go. So we have got to set up a GoFundMe for the guy. Now, on a different note, I think you are missing out by not having you and your son tag team on a couple shows that you tape, and you being Pack Daddy, I think you need to call him Pack Pee Wee. So the show would be called Pack Daddy and Pack Pee Wee. And you guys tag team some interesting shows with what he thinks and have him argue with you about stuff that what you think as far as who the Packers should pick in the draft. I think it'd just be a good show. So kick it around, see what you think, try it out, do a test run. But I think you need to do a show with your son. So I just think that it'd be pretty entertaining. This is Garrett, and I'm out.
Yeah, we should try something. I know he's got his lists. I don't know if he would really remember much. Enough so that we could actually converse or argue about what players a Packer should pick. But we could do that as like a goal. I could have him sort of study his lists and kind of get to know some of the names and the guys that he liked. At least like the grades that he had on him or whatever. I don't know. We could try something. Or maybe even just interview him, you know, ask him like his top guys and why or whatever. something like that. I don't know, but you're right. He does need to slowly get, he has slowly been worked into the show. You know, he's kind of jumped in here and there. What would we do? Oh, game day. He was in on game day. That was fun. We did some game day. He'll probably have to do a little hanging out with us on the draft, I think, especially for the picks. Have him kind of drop down, and we'll get his list up, see who's kind of left on his board and who he wants to get picked and all that. I think that'd be kind of fun. So as far as Pedro goes, I mean, he's definitely going. And if there's any issues, if there's any, you know, any needs that he has, we'll definitely, as a group, get together and make sure that he is well taken care of. He said he lives close by, so I don't think he needs hotel or anything like that. But if there's, you know, ticket issues or whatever the case may be that he's not able to go, we'll have to make sure that he overcomes that. Probably should send him some merch, right? I feel like I should make sure that he's, if he wants. I mean, obviously, he probably wants to wear a Packers jersey. Maybe we can hook him up with a Packernet bandana or something. I don't know. Pedro, let me know. Be kind of cool to have Packernet represented in Brazil. Like I said, the ultimate goal is to have Packernet worldwide and have Pedro be the Brazilian evangelist, if you will. Meet up with other Brazilian Packer fans. Like, hey, man, you ever listen to Packernet's Bird of Grass?
Yo, Ryan, it's your uncle, Rico.
Yo.
Hey, the Brazil game, do you think, like, the, for one, is Brazil, is it? I haven't looked it up. I should look it up before I called you. Are their colors green and yellow? Is that the deal, I
yeah.
think? Or yep. Is that Jamaica? Is
Both.
That Brazil also?
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyways, yeah, hopefully it's like a home game for the Pack. That the fans are on our side, the crowd's going wild. But do you think, don't they like scream their heads off the entirety of a soccer match?
Pretty much.
Do you think they'll know that they not to scream their heads off, like even get super louder when we have the ball on offense? The Brazilian fans, will they be going wild and they just won't be able to control themselves? And Jordan Love will be out there waving his arms like, you know, like chill out, dude. Like that? You think that's what'll be happening? Because I mean, there's going to be like a Brazilian fans there. I mean, I don't know how much a stadium holds, but at least a Brazilian, right? Rico out.
Couldn't tell you, man. I don't watch a lot of those games, but I know it gets loud. I know it gets rowdy. Whether or not they'll understand the keeping quiet part, or how often, and like, is it rowdy that whole game? I don't know. I have no idea, but. We'll find out when it comes to it. Might be an away game for both teams if they're just screaming the whole time. Or a home game for both teams if they find it boring.
Ryan, what's up? Kyle from Madison, buddy.
Yo.
I hope you're having a good weekend.
Pretty good.
Or whenever this finds you. So, the temperature is definitely rising on the Kenny Clark talk across the Packers, like, blogosphere.
Hadn't noticed.
It's interesting, but you can definitely tell. A lot of people talking about it. There's a lot of takes out there. I don't understand. Like, I'm hearing people say that he's overpaid and, like, asking, there's, like, a question. Should we pay Kenny Clark, you know? I don't even understand. I don't see a question here. He's not perfect, but, man, he's been one of our best players for the last several years. Like, what's the negative on the guy? He's 28. Like, I don't know. To me, it's not a question. Like, this is not the time to mess around. You're on the verge of, you know, Super Bowl aspirations. You got explosive, cheap receivers on the other side. Heck yeah, you freaking signed Kenny Clark. Right now, they should be extending him right now. And front loading him as much as possible. Make it, I don't care how, 4 years, that's actually three or whatever. He can get some of his contract in front of 2 years from now when you're going to have to start probably, you hope, pay some people because you figure if Watson pops, that's going to be 2 years from now. You have to pay him, Dobbs. And then you've got the Reed, this other class. I mean, so you need to get this money in front of that. Yeah, we've got some guys playing some big years. This year is huge for so many of those young players that they got to decide about those fifth-year options. I just think it's a huge year for Stokes. And then Wyatt and Walker, man, it's just such a huge year for those three players. Holy cow. Anyway, just wanted to take on the Kenny Clark thing. Like I said, yes, 100% yes from me. But maybe, didn't he just author an amazing season, or am I crazy? I know he had like a little dry spell. He always starts out hot. But I thought he was a force. At least second half of the year, but maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm seeing stuff because I want to. I don't know. But, yeah, pay him, keep him on the team, and let's go win some championships. Do not mess around at that position right now. We've got what we need. Let's go. All right. Peace.
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, I must have been dreaming. I thought they did give him some kind of an extension. I must be thinking of somebody else. But I do find it very interesting that, they haven't, because we're staring down the barrel of a $27.5 million cap hit for Kenny Clark, and that's too high. And that's just way too high for Kenny Clark. Now, last year his cap hit was like 13. I don't have a problem with that. It is interesting, and we'll see if they end up extending him, but by the Packers eating a $27.5 million cap hit this year. I mean, either way, I think it's the right thing to do, but it just feels like what they haven't done the last several years, which I know they are kind of getting away from, which I appreciate, but it's one of those things that I'm kind of looking at going, makes me a little bit nervous. First of all, if they felt really highly about Kenny, they'd be working on an extension. No doubt about it. Now, maybe they are, but there's a part of me that wonders if they want to kind of wait and see how it goes and let him play out 2024. If they think he'll be okay, because he's going to be 29 this year, which means if they give him an extension, the first year of that new contract or extension or whatever is going to be 2025 when he's 30. So they need to be sure that they want him 30 and beyond. So it feels like, at least up to this point, it's let him ride out 2024, let him ride out the last year of his contract, see how it goes, and then if we are okay with it, we'll offer him a new contract that is maybe a little bit more reflective of what he's actually worth, and I'll get to that in a minute. If it doesn't work out, whatever, we ate the $28 million. We still have, because of what we did in the past, some void years that we're going to have to deal with. It'll be $13.7 million that we're going to have to eat in 2025 without him, but we have to pay that anyways. I mean, that's a done deal that has to get put on the cap at some point. As far as what he is worth, I would say this. He's a pass rusher, purely. I mean, the idea of him being an elite player, he hasn't been since 2018, and that was really his only year where he was at least graded as elite. 2017, 2018 would have been like the 2 years. So he started off this rookie year 75, then 87, then 90, and it's been pretty much straight downhill ever since. From the 90, he dropped to a 79, 76, 75, 66, and then a slight uptick this past year with a 70. His run defense has completely plummeted. His tackling has been way worse. So the first 2 year, or the 2 good years, 88, 88, and then it was 67, 74, 56, 53, 61. He's only had one good tackling year. That was 2017. As far as his grades go, after that, it was 64, 48, 46, 36, 47, 42. Just abysmal tackling. His pass rush is the only thing that's been consistent. In 2018, 2019 were the two years he graded out basically elite in that category. But even since then, 70, 78, 76, 76. This past year, he had 66 pressures on 556 attempts and 10 sacks. And I think the 10 sacks are maybe the thing that's kind of skewing this to seem like he's maybe better than he is, because 10 sacks is a big number. 3 years prior, it's been 5, 4, and 5. So he's had 14 sacks over the prior 3 years. His pressure rate is sitting at 11.8%, which is fine. It's decent. It's above average. It's borderline, you could say, good. It's nowhere near, you know, the 14, 15, 16% that the, you know, elite pass rushers have. The year prior, in 2022, he was right at about 10%. So, I mean, he's a decent pass rusher. And yeah, he did get off to a slow start, but the reality is his whole season was pretty slow starty. So it was, we'll just rip through all his grades, but essentially he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He had 6 good games all year. Good being a 70 or higher via PFF, but it was 70. then 60-60, 50-50, 40-50, 60, then 70-90-70, and then 60-60, 60-60, 50, 70-60, 70. So he had a seven-game stretch of not super good games. Keep in mind, he only had six good games. He had a stretch of seven that were not very good. Then he had three good games, and then another stretch of one, two, three, four, five, and then it was good, bad, or, you know, good, mid, good after that. So he is nowhere near a elite player. Hasn't been since, again, 2018, and it was only about 2 years of him being a premier player. And I think, you know, one of the good ways to view this, though, is that it's perhaps at least something to do with the way that he's being used defensively. Obviously, under Joe Barry, he's been at his absolute worst. His last 3 years have been the worst 3 years of his career. So hopefully by switching back to something else, he'll be, you know, I don't know if, you know, 29-year-old Kenny Clark is ever going to get back to 23-year-old Kenny Clark, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But do I want to pay him top money? No, I don't. Now, again, the situation is what it is. Cutting him is not necessarily the answer to the question. It's an option, but you're looking at eating $24 million, which makes no sense. I mean, the two options between either letting him play 1 year or 0 years, we pay $27 this year and $13 next year, and we get him for a year, or we pay $24 this year and nothing next year, and we just cut him now. The only real difference is the $13 million next year. So would I pay $13 million in 2025 to get him for this year? Yes. Is he worth $13 million? Or $14 million-ish? That's sort of the question, and I think he is, especially since it's kind of a wait-and-see option. Let's let him play. Let's see if he shows a little bit of spark. It's also going to benefit us this year, as we obviously are contending. And then if we don't, it gives us time to kind of find some options along the defensive line. So I guess that's kind of my thought. You know, the idea that he's hot garbage, I think he's still a pretty decent pass rusher. But the idea that he's a premier player, no. He's a good, not great pass rusher, a horrific tackler, and a mediocre to bad run defender, and is way too inconsistent on a game-to-game basis. But anyways, I'm going to leave you guys with that. I will talk to you later tomorrow. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Now the night falls on the field. Legends held in Lambeau's sealed. Packernet, your calls ignite. Dreams of green and gold take flight.
Packers law forevermore.
Evermore.
Packers law forevermore.